Now, some good news. I mean, you were set up really as advocates for Tomb Stadium.
Yes, yeah. It was our great friend Kevin Dwyer who actually came up with the name DAFS, and he always said, we are DAFS, but not daft.
Yeah.
We have great fun doing it. We're a group of friends and supporters of Tomb Stadium who remember the glory days, some of us, of my age, younger people as well, who want to keep the grand old lady of Tomb alive and well. We also do a very serious business, Keith. Mm-hmm. We're in a situation now where the county board, for instance, who do huge work, because we are probably the biggest jewel county in Ireland now in terms of performances. I think we've passed out Cork, probably. You know, our footballers were in Croke Park this year, probably ahead of Cork at the moment. And our hurlers were all Ireland champions the year before last. So we're a huge jewel county. And there have been difficulties in the county in recent years. They're well documented and well known. So our great driving force in the early years, the late great Tommy Varden, stood up at a meeting one night, and after we discussed, you know, how difficult it was to raise money, how difficult it would be maybe to get money from Croke Park, you know, while there were other major issues outstanding in Galway alone, Tommy Varden said, lads, the best thing to do, let's do it ourselves. We'll do it ourselves. So we'll raise the money ourselves. So we had a draw and some other associated events, and we ended up with €170,000, which we were thrilled about. We're having another draw now. It's very successful so far. We will see it through, and we will finish the dressing rooms, which are nearer completion. And then we have other plans as well that needed to be funded. We now have a benefactor who's willing to come on board and to help us as well. And Keith, I would imagine that we will go up somewhere around €500,000 in the next couple of years with the amount of money we will raise. But it's very difficult. Our draws have been very successful. People have been very good. They will buy the tickets and they will say, well done, you're doing great work, keep it going. But it's not easy because we're all amateurs. It's voluntary. We're all in it for the same reason, just because we share a passion.
But you're getting places. I mean, the dressing rooms is the very first. But talk to me about the benefactor, because this is a lovely story. So.
Yeah, well, first of all, on the dressing rooms, Keith, because people are asking this question the whole time, the dressing rooms are nearing completion. You know, we have a wonderful company down there, Kilbride Sand and Gravel, and our contractor, Shane Holland, is doing wonderful, wonderful work for us, and his goodwill as well as his great work is much appreciated by us, along with all the other supporters we've had. We have known for some time that Joe O'Toole, one of the leading businessmen in the west of Ireland, has been anxious to help us, just to come on board and to do something for us. He has done that with many other organisations in the town, with St. Gerald's and their playing fields and so on.
He recently made
a very large contribution to Tomb Cathedral, and he recently had a great success when he provided his big car park for the homecoming for Brendan Murray. That turned out to be a fantastic success, really, and the town were lucky, really, to have a venue that could host something like that after dark. Mm-hmm. And so he's in great form, and his CEO, Mary Lerner, I've been chatting to both of them in recently, and they're in great form and they're very anxious to do something. I just want to explain thing first of all, Keith, if I could. This is because they both have a passion for sport. Mary Lerner is well known as a supporter of Corrifin in football, and of course their brilliant hurling wing, the great club that is known as Cylon. And Joe O'Toole himself, a man with a wonderful memory, his earliest memories are of cycling with his uncle from beyond Headford to Tomb to go to matches in Parkmore in the racecourse before Tomb Stadium opened.
Oh.
And then later on, his memories are, of course, of Sean Purcell in 1954 against Mayo, and the three in a row on that. So there is a passion there for Gaelic games, and this is one of the reasons they're coming on board. Now, we're not in a position yet to put an exact figure on his investment. Keith, that will come quite soon, because costings are being done at the moment.
Well, what exactly then does Joe want to gift to Tomb?
What Joe originally intended, Keith, was that he would help us to finish the dressing rooms. There was a shortfall of about somewhere between €70,000 and €80,000, and he said he would finish the dressing rooms for us. But one day, Joe O'Toole and Mary Lerner were over in Tomb Stadium. The gate was open because it was well known that anybody could look in and see the work going on. He came in, he looked at the stand, he thought the stand was in very, very poor condition, which it is. And above all, he thought the steel in the stand was past its sell-by date. So he changed his mind. He then decided that instead of doing what he said he would originally do, and we're now finishing the dressing room, this is our draw, he's not involved in that, we're doing it, and we will see it through to the end. What Joe decided to do then was to roof the stand. He's going to put a new roof on the stand. And all this is being done in association with brilliant, brilliant work being done by our engineer, Conor Hayes, who has been a wonderful help to us as well, and a wonderful help to Joe O'Toole and to Mary Larnan. And as well as the steel and the new roof, since that plan was first mooted, Joe has thought about something else as well. The seating in Tuam Stadium, Keith, is there for a long time. It's comfortable enough for some people, maybe for younger people and that. It's not quite fit for purpose going forward, and he now intends to replace 1,700 seats, and that will be an investment of about €25,000 on top of what he was already had in mind to invest. So, in getting costings now, Keith, sorry, he will soon come to the exact figure of his investment. But he is very happy now for us to know in DAFT, the Development Advocates for Tuam Stadium, who work in association with the Tuam Stadium Association and in association with the County Board and the GA, who actually own Tuam Stadium, which is a fantastic asset that must be protected for the future. And oddly enough, us as amateurs, Keith, we are the people who can afford to do it, because we're raising all this money now with the help of Joe O'Toole and Mary Lerner. So they're coming on board to fund a lot of work, much needed work, vital work, in what we might call the old stand or the existing stand. There are other plans then in Tuam Stadium as well. And that's a huge injection of money and a huge injection of confidence into what we're doing, Keith, because it just, you get tired of draws year in, year out. Now, we will go forward now, I think, buoyed by new confidence with this. And our draw on the 30th of September, we will be edging closer then to around that time as to when we will know exactly.
30th of December.
We will know more than what Joe O'Toole intends to fund going forward for the old stand. But Keith, it's not every town that would have a stadium like Tuam Stadium would have a person like Joe O'Toole who would be there within the town through passion, not business, to passion and interest, that he would write a big check for work that, again, not alone does it need to be done, Keith, we can't go back ourselves to the same people asking over and over again, because we go back to the people of Tuam, North Galway, the rest of Galway, our great friends in London, who you met some of them over the weekend, and our great friends in New York, to the Jimmy Glynns of this world and all that. We have tentacles spreading around the world, Keith. And two tickets were sold by Kevin Dwyer recently to a Tuam man now living, working in business in China.
Do you know what you do? You stay with us. I'm going to come back to this after the 11 o'clock news, because Ollie's going to join us as well on this one. We'll finish it out after the 11 o'clock news. Can you stay with us now?
Oh, with pleasure.
You don't have a pressing engagement or anything, no?
This is more important.
With Kevin Dwyer.
Yeah.
All right, let's head to the 11 o'clock news on death notices. And Jim Carney will join us with Ollie Turner just after the 11 o'clock news as well today. And we'll just be looking further at this. But well done to Joe and Mary and the team. I wouldn't expect anything else from them, to be quite honest. I just know of their generosity in other quarters as well. Quick commercial break, 11 o'clock news, death notice, and then back with Jim Carney and Ollie. Jim Carney sits opposite with me again. Jim, just come back, I mean, to this news, which we spoke about just before going to news there. I mean, so Joe O'Toole has come on board, and he's doing a huge job on the main stand there. So this is just a huge injection for North Galway.
It is an injection of money and an injection of confidence.
That's what you need, isn't it?
Yes, it's badly needed. I mean, Tuam, like all towns and villages around Ireland, would have lost a lot of amenities over the years, and you know that's been well documented. But something like Tuam Stadium, Keith, what is tradition? You know, we can't discard tradition, really. You know, I mean, the past or the present, which of them counts the most? I mean, both probably is the answer I would give to that, because the great events, the great games that took place there since it was opened the 21st of May in 1950, that was all about people going to see their heroes, and they're still going to see their heroes. I'll just give you one example of it, Keith, and I will say this much, which I said on Galway BFM before as well: it's not a case of Tuam Stadium being built up again at the expense of anybody, of anything else. It was never meant to be Tuam Stadium versus Pier Stadium or Kenny Park, Athenry, or Duggan Park. We need them all in Galway, Keith. We need them all. It's not just one or anything like that. But we believe in our tradition there, you know, and we want it to come through to the present time. There's a beautiful old saying that I heard a long, long time ago, Keith, and I think it's very profound. History is the gift to the present. And I saw this recently.
Said, yeah.
I saw this recently. Anyway, because the county hurling final was on out in Pier Stadium, great event with a great crowd, something like 10,000 a few weeks ago. The Connacht Council had to play the Connacht Club intermediate final on the same day, and Galway had the venue. Okay, Cumann Pella on Spigiel, they had the choice. It was a Galway venue. If there wasn't a venue good enough to hold it or to meet the kind of council requirements, it might well have gone to Hyde Park, Roscommon, because Fiorty, their champions, which they start right on the perimeter of Roscommon Town, they would have had it. Spigiel had the greatest day in their history, and that was just after the second greatest day in their history when they beat Belmullet, who had a current senior football all-star playing with them. And of course they had the wonderful battles in the county championship then with their neighbours, Amacher, Bohorn and Costa, Micheál Branach. So this year has been a romantic story, an unbelievable story, the romance of sport for Spigiel and the community and the players and everybody out there. But they came to Tuam to play two of their greatest games. I believe, Keith, that their memories of those days will start with Tuam Stadium. What if Tuam Stadium was not there? What if health and safety regulations said that the dressing rooms were not good enough or anything like that? That match might well, if Duggan Park couldn't have coped with it, which it might not have been able to do, would have gone to Roscommon. And I should say as well, Keith, I'm giving the impression here that maybe the dressing rooms are being built. They are pretty much built. They are very, very close to being finished. We're not quite sure when they'll be ready in that, but they're very close to being finished. And it's not just four dressing rooms, Keith. There's special units have been put in there to make them female friendly, more privacy, etc., and that kind of thing, and that is important in modern games, because ladies football has been hugely popular in Tuam down through the years. Even Donegal played an All-Ireland final there in recent years, and at the time again there were negative thoughts about the state of the dressing rooms and health and safety and all that. But there's referees rooms going in, there's physio rooms going in the modern times we're in it, Keith. Not surprising to learn, there's drug testing room there as well. All these amenities are kind of three quarters built, or probably a little bit more than three quarters built.
Well, they will be finished.
Will be finished. And for that, Keith, our tickets, you have one of them there, €50 a ticket, for sale all over Tuam, in businesses, in pubs, and with all the people, like we 20 to 25 people in Daft, too numerous to mention, we're all selling tickets. And then we have other people who have come along, friends of ours, who take more tickets than we do and sell them as well. Yeah. So, and that work, Keith, we must get that draw just boosted up. We're on what we call a final push. We're on a final push to sell these tickets, to finish the dressing room, to finish that work, because that's not part of what Joe O'Toole plans in his investment in Tuam Stadium.
Stay with me, I'll come back to the tickets in a minute. Ollie Turner joins me on the line. Ollie, good morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
This is all good news, so it is. I mean, to see Joe O'Toole coming in and Mary Lardner, his CEO, and they're putting the shoulder to the wheel, and then the draw itself.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, the reason I'd be so anxious to, first of all, congratulate Jim and his team on their great work, it's also to ask a few questions, because, clearly Tuam Stadium needs a lot of work, and I, like Jim, have been going there on a professional capacity covering matches for me, probably the last quarter of a century, for Jim a bit more than that, but then I'd been the one that would have been playing a lot of matches there as well over the years, and, like, the dressing rooms just weren't fit for purpose, so that's a positive. But, there's a couple of things, and Jim, maybe this is something that I'm sure Dafts are thinking about as well. One thing we see across the country as well as the naming rights of grounds, county grounds in particular. Is that something on the horizon for Tuam Stadium? It's the kind of thing where I'd say, look at Joe, build the whole stand, put up lights, and we'll call it Super Value Park forevermore. But by the same token, the lights are a big thing as well, Jim, and you go to an awful lot of matches around the country, and we're just a disgrace when it comes to not being able to host inter-county National League hurling or football matches in any venue. Ballinasloe have stolen the thunder on the east side of the county, and they've got fantastic facilities. Surely that'd be another wonderful project for Tuam to take on board.
It would, if I could answer that, Keith. It would, Ollie. And just to say, talking about naming rights and all that, it's probably too early for us yet to speculate on what will happen there, Ollie. But definitely there will be an acknowledgement, a public acknowledgement there on the stand somewhere of the name of the person who will do so much to fund the work that will take place in the old stand, which really wasn't envisaged, as part of the early phases at first. The main thrust and the mission really was to build the new dressing rooms. And so much else has to be discussed, because also we have to discuss it with our engineer and with the county board as well, and with Croke Park. That'll all happen in time. But it's interesting what you say in the lights, Ollie, because again it's well documented that it's not a simple matter of putting lights in Pier Stadium and many other grounds as well. We think, and from our information as well, and we're all in this as a team. There's a big team. I'm a very, very small cog in this, and in fact, even in relation to dealing with Joe O'Toole's plans and that, I'm nothing more than a carrier pigeon, really, and happy to be a carrier pigeon in the company of Keith Finnegan today. But there's an interesting future ahead, I think, Ollie. And if I could just speculate a little on this, and I know what I know what the thinking is, maybe in the bigger picture in Croke Park as well. There's an awareness now of major sociological changes, I think, that are happening. And for instance, going to the pub on a Sunday night, it seems to be gradually phased out, at least from the big extent that it was. I mean, I remember going to work 40 years ago, you know, after being out all night nearly, and you'd get 3 hours sleep and you go into work on the Monday morning. Well, that's changing now. That's changing big time. And I know in all the towns and villages in Ireland, the Friday nights and the Saturday nights are bigger. And recently, there was a very careful eye kept by the GAA at senior level in the country and around the country on the Mayo County Final, which took place in Castlebar, under lights on a Saturday night. And there was an eagerness, really, in finding out what would the reaction be. There was a phenomenal reaction to it. It was a wonderful success. Families went to the match in big numbers. When the game was over, the parents would have brought the children uptown. They went for their treats. They could walk around. And there was a Christmas atmosphere coming, just beginning to start at the time. You know, men and women who would have gone out on their own without children around that, they would go up, they go into the pub, they talk about the game. The followers of the winning team were thrilled, and they were up around the town night. So the atmosphere was so good. And also there was a novelty value. Watching a county final under lights on a Saturday night, it was just a new feeling. Now, you could argue, maybe being negative about it, that the novelty would wear off. But that was regarded as a phenomenal success as well.
So are you ruling out lights then, on this question there altogether?
No. I'm ruling in lights for a place like Tuam, Keith, because yeah. I think there is probably less of a threat of major objections that would go on for years and years in Tuam. There is a feeling about that. You know, it's a kind of an educated guess, you know, a considered view
that people are putting in there. That could be the next one. But I mean, Ollie, I mean, this is today's news. And I wish we could talk all day on it, but we can't. But today's news is all good. And I take it you bought your ticket for €50, Oliver.
I think I'll be buying more than one now because it has a genuine positive effect on the community. And like, it's not Tuam. Like, that's the thing. Like, Milltown are getting a twist out of this. Monavie Abbey, Killarearden, Carlisthrane. You know, you throw a net 20 miles wide of Tuam, and like it's a huge impact. Jim will tell you, the amount of people that come up from Claremorris and Ballandine to matches when they're on in Tuam, it's unbelievable. Like,
the Michael Cummins and the Michael Cummins and the William McHughes, you know, they're grow for Tuam Stadium. You know, it's just 20, 30 years there, you know.
Today,
but I think, you know, there's one thing. I mean, look, replacing the roof is grand and everything, but like I'm trying to picture in my own head what's going to happen here, because you still have those, you know, I was so disappointed at the time the Castle Bar was done. You know, the stanchions in front, you know, blocking. That's the one beauty of Pearce Stadium. Mm-hmm. When they did that job, I tell you one thing, they did it right, and it is brilliant. Now, whatever about the long-standing argument that people in North Galway have about where it is, it was a brilliant job, and it is a brilliant place to go to watch a match. That's ultimately where you want Tuam to get to.
Just one quick comment to make on that, Ollie. It's probably too early, really, for us to be describing it or anything like that, but there is a sharp piece of terracing that's being built as well beside the old stand in Tuam. That terracing will be over the new dressing rooms, and it will be marvellous, really, for the dressing room now to be under something like that. A little bit further down the road, there will be a full stand over that terracing. At the moment, it's planned to be seating like you'd have opposite the main stand in Castlebar, but that will be a new stand as well. And the stanchions and all the things that are intrusions, they will be gone from there, Ollie. So further down the road, it will be a three-part, the old stand, the new stand, and the bit in the middle, and the teams coming out then for the big matches, they'll come out in between. That's a vision, but there's no vision that can't be realised.
Okay. We have to leave it there for today. Ollie, thanks for joining us today on the programme. And Jim, thank you indeed for popping into us today.
My pleasure, Keith.
Lovely to hear Jim Carney on the radio. What a great sports ambassador for Galway. So there you go. Well done. Where can they get the tickets? Somebody wants to know. So all the shops in Tuam.
All over the town, Keith. Yeah. All over the town.
Kevin Dwyer would have a few in his back pocket.
No better man. Yeah. Kevin Dwyer is the man who sold the two tickets to a businessman in China. How about that, Keith?
I knew. I saw some expenses coming in from China, and I knew. Yeah.
One other one, and the proof is on social media, Keith. Kevin sold a ticket last week to a great football fan, a woman. She's 102 years of age. Mrs. Lowry is her name.